Welcome into the Emergency Backup Podcast, episode three of, I guess, like the rebrand, the redo of this. I feel like it's better quality now, but I'm Ronan Clancher, former emergency backup goalie for University of Alaska Anchorage Seawolves Hockey, and back with me this week, as always, looking good in his TJ Oshie jersey, Quinn Harris. Look at you.
Yes, yes. You're looking at the newest substitute teacher in the state of North Dakota.
Are you actually? Whoa.
I got the email today that I am officially been hired as the substitute teacher.
Wow. You got to take some tips from my mom. Subbing all those years.
Yeah. So I'm not quite sure what to expect yet, but the hiring process probably it'd go over well in the classroom, but yeah. The hiring process was suspected at best. Literally you apply, prove you don't have a criminal background and that you've taken 40 credits of college classes, and that's it. And
only
you're
40?
Qualified 40 credits and you were
I thought you had to have like a degree.
Nope, not to be a substitute teacher, not in North Dakota.
I guess I don't know what the rules in Alaska are, but that's a little suspect.
Yes, it is.
In North Dakota, 40 credits. So you guys have semesters, right? So it's like 3 credits a class.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just like, that's like 2 years of college.
Yeah, so you could be 19 and hired to teach 12th graders.
Wow. And if you start early in college, can you be in high school and substitute teach? Say you get like the Head Start programs.
I think so, because all it says is all you do is send them, all I do is like email or mail them my official transcript showing that I've done 40 college credits. And that's it. That's all I had to do.
Oh my god, that's wild. That was a start to this podcast. I was not expecting that.
I saved it just for you. So
wow. Well, I tell you what. Over last weekend, playing in the old UAA alumni game against Fairbanks, I'm out of commission for a while. My hips are dead. 4-0 win. In an alumni game, kind of strange, kind of very low scoring. It was outside, I'll say that. But
where'd you guys play at?
Outside of Boki. So ice was, it was a little soft in the crease. So I was making sure to, like, hey, you know, if they light me up, I'm be like, oh, you know, the crease, you know, it's pretty soft, hard to slide on. But you know, shutout, not a big deal, not a big deal. Come on.
Were you pulling the good old trademark Ronan Clancher fish out of water?
Not too much. I was most of the time I was in position. Of the time. Like I didn't make any diving or pad stack saves. If I let in a couple of goals, I would have definitely done pad stack. But since I didn't, I was like, all right, I think I actually have to play like goalie and how, right, I would actually teach. Well,
I mean, after watching you in high school, I thought that they should just rename the pad stack the Clancher. It's the same thing.
I it was strategic. I got it most of the time. Like people were like, oh, why are you doing that? I'm like, I usually get it. Like it is a like 90% chance that I don't remember letting in a goal on the pad stack in a game. No, that's it. I know this. What are we talking about?
Classic.
We did get some free Seattle Kraken swag while we were there. So they're calling them the seventh man. I'm kind of like, you know, like the 12th man for Seattle.
Yeah, I don't like it.
I don't know if I dig it, but
I think calling all the fans the crackheads at the crack house is way better.
I think that'd be really funny. I think that's like they set themselves up for it. I feel like they need to embrace it, call them the crackheads, and just it's fitting for downtown Seattle.
This is not
my
a homeless population joke.
My apologies. My apologies.
This is not at all a homeless population joke.
yeah, all I'm saying is if you've been to downtown Seattle, right by where the rink is, you'll get it.
I mean, I've been offered when I was in high school. Quick story: we were in high school. We were on a soccer trip to Portland. We had stepped off the tram into downtown Portland, and I'm standing next to Mr. Waite. And this guy is like selling crack pipes out of his like briefcase. And he offers me a pipe.
Like, watches.
I'm like, you know, yeah, but they're crack pipes. And he offers me one. I'm like, oh no, I'm good, thank you though. But this guy, he might want one. And I point to Mr. Wait.
Point to the coach and say, hey man. Hey man, you want one?
Yeah, so good times.
I guess also speaking of Seattle Kraken, big update from them. I just told you this before, and I think we found out about it today, where the Seattle Kraken are donating $100,000 towards the Save Seawolf Hockey initiative, which is huge. And they're challenging at least 10 other businesses to do the same thing. They're coming up with an idea sort of like Alaska Hockey Day in Seattle, something like that. And it's really cool to see the Kraken be on board with the UAA hockey, because I guess you think about it, Alaska Hockey, or I guess UAA, it's a, I don't know if it's the closest by distance, but closest in the fact that Alaska and Seattle are, I don't know, near, sort of.
Right.
They're connected in a way. So it is cool to see the Seattle Kraken do that and notice UAA, right?
How have they said, like, how they're going to try and spend this money? Are they going to try and use it for scholarships for players?
Well, it's update operations. The jerseys?
Okay.
That makes sense. They need $1.5 million for operations for next year. And
really?
So they're at about one point, with the $100,000 from the Kraken, they're at about 1.25 million now. And they have about a month left. Think around there. So it's, they've done way better than I thought they would. I'll just say that right now. I thought it wouldn't get off the ground nearly as much as it is right now. 'Cause yeah, 1.2 million as of 5 days ago.
Okay.
And they have 18 days. So, I mean, it's not looking as bad as I thought it would at this time. I was thinking, oh man, if they get a million, that's a miracle. But I mean, shit, if you want to donate, saveseawolfhockey.com. Not a sponsor of this, but hey, I'm gonna put it out there.
Is there any way that the state can donate that money, or
they want the program gone? So also in a state that has, you know, $76 billion, you know, it's whatever. it's whatever. I don't even care. I don't even care. That's neither here nor there. We don't.
I know, but just like before getting political about
before
all this
being,
stuff.
You know, politically, I have $76 billion.
You're standing on PFD and everything, but whatever.
You know, I don't really care. I have big show Isaiah Seville coming up later in the show after we go over the NHL. I mean, great guy to talk to. Just great dude. Known him since I was about 6 or 7. Goalie for Nebraska Omaha, got drafted by the Knights in the 5th round, which I think is an absolute steal for the way he's been playing. It's kind of like him and Jeremy Swayman, like Jeremy Swayman getting drafted in the 4th round and then immediately winning the Mike Richter Award for best goalie in Division One hockey. By the Bruins.
What's I'm saying? Swayman was also a finalist last year for the
Hobie Baker. Who got 2nd place for Hobie Baker? That was ridiculous. I saw a thing last year where it was, who wins the Mike Richter for you? It was a hockey writer, Ryan Lambert, and Ryan Lambert responded to it and saying, "Swayman by a mile. Maine with a replacement level goalie turns into Vermont." So yeah, I was like, all right, yeah. I guess getting into NHL. I guess what have you seen so far that's kind of surprised you or popped out?
Well, I guess I kind of want to just, you know, brush on the Central right now, and they're kind of having their COVID issues.
That is a tough division right now. They have a lot of the teams have like all of their games with like 100 days, which like 56 games, like 102 days. Oh
yeah, so that's gonna be brutal. So I you know. Just come March, come April, see how these guys are feeling. That might make for a pretty sloppy division. But on the other end, I'm kind of surprised with the Rangers. They're off to a pretty rocky start. 1-4-1.
Does Lafreniere have a point?
No, he doesn't. So, and
I guess you can't
not
really base
quite sure what's
this.
Going on there.
Can't really base it off like such a short sample size. I don't think he's going to be Nail Yakupov. It's a very rare case where they turn into a Neil Yakupov or Alexander Daigle, if you're going back from Ottawa. I think he'll be all right. He'll be like a middle six.
I agree. I don't know. I think he's skating on the third line, and I'm not quite sure why he's not playing with Panarin. You know, it's like, why not let this guy play with one of the best players in the league and see what
try to get his confidence up, right?
Exactly. And it's like, if this guy can't produce playing on the same line as Panarin, then he's just not going to work out. It's pretty much, you know.
I guess keeping in the East right there, Jack Hughes looking good. Jack Hughes looking good.
Off to a good start.
I think he's gained the weight. He's gained more weight. He's gotten a little stronger. He's still.
He was 18 fast. He was 18 for God's sakes last year.
What was he, like 160 pounds? Like, yeah. Looks like he's bulked up a little bit. I mean, I think he could have used an extra year of not NHL.
I think he could have just matured.
I think he just needed a year to mature because he came out of the development program.
He was finishing high school online when he started playing hockey last year. So. Yeah, he needed a year or two to get up there. And part of it, you know, is the Connor McDavid stuff, is Connor McDavid came in and he was 6'4 and humongous and fast and so skilled.
He was just a monster.
Everyone expects that nowadays. And it's just not realistic. These kids need a couple years to figure it out.
I guess, yeah, fill out, like, physically.
Yeah.
And get used to their bodies, right? Where... Well, I mean, I think Jack Hughes, you're seeing it this year. I think he's going to be an absolute stud for the mm-hmm. Devils. I don't know if the Devils are going to do well because I think they're going to be good. Say next year, I think Mackenzie Blackwood going to be. I think he's pretty solid in net. They got Ty Smith? Is that it? He's a defenseman, rookie defenseman for them. He's done really really well. I think it's not this year, but next year. And I think same goes for Ottawa. I think same goes for the Sens, I guess, transitioning to the North. I don't know if the Sens are going to do well this year, but they're going to compete night in, night out. It's different than last year. Different than last year in that regard.
They have some good young players. Gave Matt Murray a lot of money. However, there's not a lot of defense in front of him. So
no. I mean, you have Eric Branson playing 23 minutes a night.
Exactly.
that's not good.
Exactly. So they have a couple of defensemen in the pipeline. They have two guys at UND that
Eric
are actually look really. No, I'm talking Jacob Bernard Docker.
I was talking about Brännström was in the trade with Stone. Yeah. So Brännström was there. I was about to say Jacob Bernard Docker. I think he's going to be unbelievable in the NHL.
Yeah, and then
I think, seeing him play.
Whew. And then they also have Jake Sanderson, too. So,
yeah, I think – and also Matthew Tkachuk. I think Tim Stützle is going to be good. It's looking really good after Ottawa had – it looked like 2 years ago, zero future. With Erik Karlsson leaving, Mark Stone getting traded last year with J.G. Pageau leaving. I think they got a good haul for him because J.G. Pageau is like second-line guy.
And then Thomas Chabot, and then you know he's a stud defenseman.
He'll end up playing about 25 minutes a night.
Yeah, exactly.
He's good. I think he's going to be a top five defenseman in the league.
Well, like watching him play kind of reminds me of like a younger Duncan Keith from 8-9 years ago. So
45 points a year,
something like that.
45 points a year, like doing real good. 10
goals, 10-35 a year.
On the PK, on the power play, you know he's going to get. You know, 15, 20 power play points a year. Yeah, I can see the Duncan Keith representation there. I do think Toronto just has too much skill to not win the North compared to other teams. Like that's all I'm saying.
I know you're right, but Montreal's real good.
Oh, Nick Suzuki. Tyler Toffoli's looking good there too.
Yeah, and you know that. That Josh Anderson trade too, you know, when they got traded him for Max Domi, I kind of thought that the Blue Jackets had swung a little deal there, but I think
Anderson's not bad.
He's not bad at all, and I think he's playing in the right situation now, where he doesn't he's not the guy or isn't supposed to be the guy. So he's a good second line winger, and that's all they need him and want him to be, and he's thriving right now in that role.
One deal that I think the Blue Jackets did well in, and it was the biggest news for the last week or so in hockey, Pierre-Luc Dubois going to the Winnipeg Jets for Patrick Laine and Jake Roslovic. Oh my God! I didn't expect this big of a blockbuster. Patrick Laine, the number two and number three picks going back from each other in the 2016 draft. Wow. I think that Laine will be the guy in Columbus, and I think Tortorella can get a lot of effort out of him. Because mm-hmm. if not, all right, he's sitting, right? So I think Laine can really thrive in Columbus. It just that there's no real... Who do you have, Oliver Bjorkstrand by him? Like, right. I don't know who's the supporting cast there. That being said, I think they're going to make the playoffs because they get every single game they go to overtime.
Well, they're just, you know, they're a very, very structurally sound team.
And that's Tortorella.
You know, it's just that's right. That's how they're built.
He's good at getting to overtime.
Yeah. Well, then you have two of the best young defensemen in the game, and Seth Jones and Zach Aronsky.
Oh,
you know.
Oh my God!
And then
each
when you
of them
have
playing
both
30 minutes a night, like
exactly,
awesome.
And then you have Korpisalo and Merzlikins, and each one of them gives you a shot to win too. Like they're always in the top five in goals against because they're just so sound defensively.
It's
so all they have to do, is if they can find a way to score three goals a night, they might win. Like. Exactly. Like, that's just, they're probably going to win. And that's how they're built.
It's the same thing that goes with the Islanders, although the Islanders need to score. Oh my God. Like, the Islanders need to score goals. And it's not just Matt Barzal.
I know.
But going with that, in Winnipeg, it's kind of funny him saying he wants to go to a big market and then get sent to Winnipeg. It's like, ah, you like that. I guess his dad's one of the assistant coaches on Manitoba Moose, the AHL team there.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think he'll be fine. He'll be more motivated. Do I think he's a first line center? No. Do I think he's a very good second line center? Yes. Because I think he'll play him and Shifley up the middle at Winnipeg makes him a lot better team, and I mm-hmm. think it's a good change of pace for Laine. It's just so weird to see a guy go from, you know, one of the best two-way forwards, kind of a Mark Stone type of player last year, and just sign a two-year deal and then immediately give up. That's the weirdest thing about this is where he signed a two-year contract.
Right.
In the like a couple months ago, then he goes, I don't want to be here.
And so, like, I never played hockey, so all my viewpoints are from a fan standpoint. So I guess my question to you is like, how common is it for a guy to almost, like, quit on a team like that? Basically saying, I don't want to be here. And then as you see in the last shift video, he just quits on the team. Like, how common is that? And, like, how does that affect a locker room?
I would know more if I played juniors, which I didn't. And if you play juniors... You can get traded. I never played for any teams that you could get traded from. I never saw anyone really like openly give up on a team because, you know, playing through high school and comp when I was younger, there wasn't any situations like that. So I don't know. I don't know how that would work in the locker room. I know that I would hate to see it. I saw it sometimes, I guess in baseball. I saw it more in baseball where guys, you know, not run out of ground ball, and I get mad at them because I'm like, hey, they bobble it for a fraction of a second, you're on base and you're just dogging it to first. You get on guys for jogging after balls in the outfield or not laying out in the infield for balls. So I can relate it in that way where I'm pissed in that situation if I don't see a guy who's supposed to be the man on our team, Pierre-Luc Dubois. Supposed to be the man. I'd be pissed if he didn't play. I'd be pissed.
Yeah.
I don't know how the dynamic was in the Columbus locker room. From what I heard, they're like, you know, it was an open that he wanted out and all the guys respected it. And I really like that though. I like that. That says a lot about the guys on Columbus, the coaching staff and the management right there. That they're like, shit, well, we got to get rid of him. But yeah, we got to get rid of him.
You know, Lion is an RFA this year, so he goes to Columbus, likes it. You know, he could
resigns.
I think he could. You know, he has a good year. He can get 8 for 8 from Columbus.
Yeah,
which is not really what Columbus does. But now they've lost Duchesne, they've lost Panarin, they've lost Bobrovsky.
They lost Rick Nash.
They're gonna have to pay. They're gonna have to pay, and you know. I think Dubinsky's contract comes off the books
LTIR.
This year.
He's on the LTIR now. So it's not affecting his – Okay. It took me forever to learn this, just explaining it because explaining it. LTIR –
Well, trust me. I know the LTIR.
Well, I was explaining for the audience, right? Yeah.
Oh, I know. But, I mean, like, as a Coyotes fan who they acquired all these contracts, like, for a while, Pavel Datsyuk and Marian Hossa were Coyotes.
Yeah, their rights, if they ever came back, were Arizona. The LTIR, long-term injured reserve, it's a special thing that the NHL has where if they're out for years at a time, like, say, David Clarkson, or the biggest example is Stefan Robida, right, where we don't know if he was actually injured with the Toronto Maple Leafs, but they put him on LTIR, long-term injured reserve, and that does not affect the salary cap that you have. They still get paid, but they're not affecting the salary cap that you have to spend. That's essentially that's what I've learned through it. And it's a little confusing because you're like, their contract's with them. It's like, no, like it's the same thing with David Clarkson going to Las Vegas, right?
And then it's why some teams do it, like Ottawa's done it, because they have to reach the cap floor.
Yeah, so they just take on dead contracts.
Right, and they aren't you can choose to have it. You can choose to have them affect your cap or not.
Because you don't want to spend a lot of money on a player that's like, okay, you're like, all right, this guy's not even going to play. So, yeah, we'll take his contract. Yeah. I think I like if Line A re-signed with Columbus. A guy also in the Central that I want to stay around with their team, similar to the Blue Jackets situation, we're not really having a star player, is Kirill Kaprizov. That guy looks really, really good. Yeah, he's the main reason that you want to watch Minnesota Wild hockey now. There's a reason that you want to watch Minnesota Wild hockey, which is something you haven't said. I don't know if ever. I want to watch a Minnesota Wild game. It seems really fun. They have fun players on their team.
Well, for a few years, it's like, well, I want to watch Devin Dubnyk stand on his fucking head.
I want to see Devin Dubnyk carry this team up a mountain game.
On his back, yeah.
Come out of absolutely nowhere from a medium AHL goalie to a Vezina finalist.
Right. Well, and, you know, Minnesota, while they're trending up, they still have some work to do getting out of the Suter and Parise contracts.
Yeah.
They still have them on the books for, I think, 3 more years. So.
Those, like, 12-year deals. Oh,
they're tough. They're
the
like, identical.
The Parise one was bad. The Suter one wasn't as bad. It's like, it's not good, but it's better than the Parise one.
But, I mean, at least Suter still plays 23 minutes a game, and, you know, he's still good. He's good for 10-25 a year, so.
He's still good. I think going out to the West, Vegas got that division easy. I can't see any other team taking that
Colorado?
The West. Oh, never mind. I forgot Colorado's out there. What the fuck? No. Yeah, so it's between Vegas and Colorado. Yeah. Like, those two teams are really, really good, I think.
Colorado's in the market to acquire a starting goalie. And they're willing to, because they think that they can win it this year.
They have so many prospects to give up, too.
They have prospects, and they're willing to give up a first-round pick, too,
Who would you think would go to Colorado? One, so, like, teams
Darcy
that have,
Kemper.
Oh. Kemp.
I mean,
Kemper
it would suck for the Coyotes to have to keep pacing him in their own division.
You get a couple draft picks. You get a couple draft picks.
And so there was rumors that Kemper was on the market in the offseason. Arizona does not have a first round pick next year. It was taken from them as part of their penalty for the combine testing illegally. So I could see Arizona trading like Kemper for a prospect and a pick. And
I'd say you'd have to package something else with Kemper, like a third, to get a prospect and a pick out of there. But if Colorado says, hey, if we think we're going to make it to the conference finals or win a Stanley Cup with Darcy Kemper, why not give up the first pick, right? Why not give up a first round pick?
But even that pick's going to be 25, 24,
exactly.
Something like
so
that.
So why not give it
at
up
the, at the lowest? At the lowest, it's going to be 24, 25, something like that.
Yeah.
So I think I could see – I think Kemper's a really good option.
I think another name that pops out is Marc-Andre Fleury.
That was my next thing.
Yeah.
But there is no way Vegas is going to trade Fleury to keep him inside of the division. That's just not going to happen.
That's the biggest thing that I was thinking of. So I was thinking outside of the division. I don't think that Dallas would trade Anton Khudobin since they just re-signed him. They wouldn't. Mm-hmm, they wouldn't trade him. Someone like a Thomas Greiss.
Yeah, I could see that.
That could work. I because he did really well the last couple of years in New York. He's done well so far this year in Detroit. Detroit also. I mean, they
I was also thinking
prospects.
Like maybe a Pecorine.
I mean, like, yeah, you get any goalie right there. Yeah, there's a lot of options, but I think Colorado getting a goalie would definitely catch him up with Vegas. But I think as of right now, Vegas has got that division.
They have a slight edge.
Simply because the goaltending. Because they have two guys that can be number ones on just about any team. Other big news, talking about Seattle hockey, John Forslund being play-by-play guy announced yesterday. I think it's a great pick. John Forslund, arguably my favorite guy, favorite play-by-play guy in the game. It's him and Jack Michaels, former Alaska Aces play-by-play. Now does for Edmonton on TV. I think that's a really good pick for Seattle Kraken for the Crackheads.
Crackheads.
Listening to John Forslund. I think that's a great pick. I like John Forslund. He's done good with Carolina. He's been with Carolina forever.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, and I think Seattle's hungry for a hockey team, so they are.
Oh,
I think that whole region will get behind Seattle pretty quickly.
Yeah, I feel like Seattle would be. I think it's a great spot for a hockey team, and if they're good right away, like Vegas was, they're gonna have a strong base for a long time because Vegas got a huge national like fan base, and it's grown the game within Las Vegas since that time in the desert. I think it's a fantastic thing what the NHL's done with Las Vegas and just got lucky. I think they got really lucky with how good Vegas was year one.
They did.
They got – oh, my God. The revenue they got from that team, unbelievable. I think it's – I think Seattle can do really well. Leading up to the expansion draft when we get the picks or I guess the list from all the teams of who's available, we'll have to come up with an expansion draft for each of us and go over them on the pod. Cause it's later this year, man.
June, I think, is when it happens.
That's awesome. I love – oh, my God, I'm so excited for Seattle hockey. I guess anything else to talk about in the NHL?
Yelts are – it's going to be a long season watching the
It's going to be a long season, especially no first pick, man.
And it's no first pick.
Ugh.
Yeah.
I think it's – that's all we need to say about the Oats. It's going to be sad because there's no first-round pick.
Well, and they just – the new GM has to get off all the deals that John Chyka made, who, I don't know if you saw it yesterday, has been suspended for a year from the NHL.
I think that they have to find a way to trade to somebody and get a first-round pick.
They might have to trade Keller.
Ekman Larson.
Dude,
I don't know.
He only wanted to go to Boston or Vancouver. Although I could see Vancouver, I could see Boston making a move for him. But then again, you're getting a first round pick, and you're talking like 23, 24, 25.
Get two firsts and like a second.
Ekman Larson, dude.
Let's go. Ekman Larson's all right. That's what I'm saying, right?
He's a top 20 defenseman, but you know he's getting paid $8.5 million a year, which is what Torrey Krug wanted, and they didn't want to pay him Torrey Krug that. Yeah. And I think Torrey Krug's he's 5 years younger than Ekman Larson, and does not have the same injury history that he does.
I guess with that, we'll end the NHL talk. Interview this week, Isaiah Seville, as mentioned earlier at the top of the show. Kid's awesome. Known him since I was about 7 or 8. He was great to talk to. We get kind of off topic a little bit at some points. I think that makes for a better interview. get some more authentic answers with him. Great guy. Talk about, you know, social justice issues. Talk about playing in Alaska, playing anywhere. His journeys throughout his life in hockey. So without further ado, here's Isaiah Seville. For next guest on the old Emergency Backup Podcast, goaltender from Anchorage, Alaska, fifth round pick by Vegas Golden Knights, 135th overall. I think a little too late in the draft for my liking. 2019 USHL Goaltender of the Year, former teammate, former state champ for West High School in 2016, Isaiah Seville. What's up?
Nothing much. I'm glad that I was able to get the invite to be on this podcast. Thank you.
Oh, it's all my pleasure. What are you talking about, man? What are you talking about? Oh, so how have things been?
Not bad. Just continuing the season. Fortunately enough to be able to have a season, obviously, with everything going on. But we had a bubble kind of thing in December where we played 10 games in 3 weeks. And so that started on December 1st, ended on December 21st. So we had that, and then took a week break, and then we had a couple weekends canceled because of COVID, but now we're back on it. We just played 4 games in 7 days this past week.
Oh, and especially getting absolutely I guess not pummeled. You guys split the series, but I guess you yourself getting pummeled with shots this weekend against Denver. Good to see you're still here. You're able to walk around looking
good.
Yeah,
body was a little sore after that weekend.
Oh my God. Yeah. I didn't know you guys actually had a bubble. How was the food better than the pictures from the NBA bubble?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Way better. Oh, yeah. We got catered meals, 3 meals a day. So we got really good food every day, good pregame meals, postgame meals. So our coach is big on nutrition too. So we got healthy, good food.
Okay. Not just like chicken and broccoli.
No.
Okay.
We got a good variety of food too.
No unseasoned chicken and just steamed
broccoli.
Thankfully. Oh, come on. That's the classic for any hockey team. Oh man.
Yeah.
That stuff sucks.
Yeah, terrible. I'm glad I'm out of youth hockey and juniors now that I don't have to eat that stuff too much anymore.
Well, I guess. I guess getting into it, growing up in Alaska. Obviously, right? That's where we met each other. I think we met each other like eight or nine, something like that.
Long time ago.
Long time.
21 now.
Oh man, yeah. You're doing good. You love to see it, man. And
thank you.
What was the biggest difference, and what was your decision process on going to Colorado from Alaska? I get because you played for the Thunderbirds, right?
Correct. So, correct. Yeah.
What was the decision to go there, and how was it different from Alaska, like the culture and just the level of play?
Yeah, I mean, I loved growing up in Alaska. I think it's a great hockey community, first of all. But I was kind of getting to the point where I kind of wanted to expand a little bit and get more recognition. And obviously, you would know as well, growing up in Alaska, you don't get as many, you don't get scouts at your game. You don't really get that exposure that you would get in the lower 48, as I guess. I didn't know, a little off topic, but people...
Well, I'm all for it.
We talk, in Alaska, we say the lower 48, and when I say that down here, no one knows what the hell I'm talking
it's
about.
It's strange, because it's just in all of our, like dialogue.
Yeah.
Every single... Yeah. You're lower 48, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And when I was in Seattle, people were looking at me like, what the hell are you talking about?
So that's terminology that's only in Alaska, I bet, so... But yeah, I was kind of deciding between going to prep school and playing 16 AAA. And at the time, my brother lived in Denver too. I didn't end up living with him, but I kind of made the transition a little easier, having a little bit of family there. And then obviously playing under Angelo Ricci in the Colorado Thunderbird organization. It was really a welcoming environment too, especially for my first year away from home at 15 years old. So it was a good experience and a good fit for me. Yeah.
Wow. 15 going out on your own. I was about to say, how was the transition process? But obviously having a little bit of family there, at least, it makes it a lot better. How are the, how are the guys down there? Any big, not knowing what Alaska is?
Yeah. Well, for the first time I got there, everyone was super baffled that I was from Alaska. So that was kind of cool getting to tell my Alaska story.
Flex on him
a little bit. It's a good conversation starter for new people, but it was good. I liked every guy on my team. Another guy, do you remember Colby Klingemeyer?
Yeah, yeah.
He was a demon. Yeah, him and I actually lived together. He was on the team too. Yeah, so him and I lived together there. And so we had an apartment with his grandpa. So we lived there, played together. And we knew each other since we were like 6 or 7 too. So it was easy transition for both of us.
Yeah. Well, you got recognition, obviously. It paid off.
Definitely. Good decision.
paid off to go down to Colorado. Then you went to, was it the Magicians in Minnesota?
Yep. In the Knoll. Yeah, the Dirty Knoll.
Yeah. A Vietnam vet, I salute you for your service.
Yeah.
You only had 1 year, right?
And then you 1 year. 40 games, though. That's a lot of games.
Oh, man. I guess I got to ask Preston Weeks for a lot of games.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that guy's the true vet in Vietnam.
Yeah, he's a vet.
He epitomizes that. How was the first year of juniors for you? Because what were you, 16 then?
Yeah, 16.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, start the year. I turned – it was only the very first month. I turned 17 in September when I got there. So every year I'm turning older as the
season starts. Okay.
You know? Yeah. But yeah, it was a difficult transition because I kind of felt like a little baby. I was 16. I was a sophomore in high school, junior in high school. Yeah, and I have 21-year-olds around me. They can drink beer, and I was like, "What is a beer?" You know, like I was like 16. I was just a little baby, you know, and so it was definitely different. And seeing like that, you can get traded and you can get cut. And all this stuff, which I never really experienced from Utah. I guess no one experiences that from Utah, you know, getting traded. But seeing guys come in and come out so frequently was definitely an eye-opener.
And I never really thought about it that way where, never playing juniors, that never really comes to mind for me as a factor in it. Just like, oh, yeah, you can get traded. All right, yeah.
It was crazy. It was super, super eye-opening. I never thought someone would actually get traded, and it happens all the time.
Yeah, how did you get picked up by Tri-Cities?
So my USHL draft year, I got drafted by Madison, the Capitals.
Right.
And that ended up not panning out just because we had different plans in mind, me and the organization. So it was the year after the Magicians on draft day, they traded me to Tri-City. Tri-City was able to acquire me on draft day, which was kind of a weird story. I got my wisdom teeth out that day. So I was a little loopy. So I had no idea that it actually happened until I was like out of my whole surgery and whatever, because before it, I was all knocked up on drugs when I got the call and stuff. I found out like a day later. I was like, oh, sweet.
All right, well, time to go, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, after that, I got my ticket and went there.
Yeah, who are some guys that you, I guess, modeled your game after? I always like to ask this to goalies because we all watch all the YouTube videos of, your favorite goalies. You spend so much time on that. Like, I can't just be hours. Me with that. Hours looking at
hours
saves.
Hours and hours.
Who are some guys that you looked up to?
I'm a big Carey Price fan. I like how he kind of models his game after, like, a calm and collected kind of play style. You know, I try and model that a little bit with kind of still being athletic, but still so composed that you're not out of your net all the time, you know?
Yeah, you know, out of your net like I was. Yeah, no.
you were just a beast. You know that, too.
I did not have a style that a lot of goalie coaches liked. I'll tell you that much. Flexible, decent at skating, a 5'8", that's the only way I can play, baby.
And guess what? Stop the puck.
Stop the puck. That's it. Yeah. No matter what, laying out pad stacks all day.
Exactly.
So So you win USHL Goalie of the Year. How'd you find out about that? How was that for you to find out?
Oh yeah, it was really cool. We actually had the Goalie of the Year, the Player of the Year, and the D of the Year, and the Rookie of the Year. I think it all was.
Okay.
So we had
all on the same team.
Ronnie Adderd. Yeah, all of us on Thursday. Yeah. So it was only three guys.
Just a wagon.
We had five draft picks that ended up going, or five guys on the team that ended up getting drafted that year.
My God.
But yeah, our captain got D of the year and league MVP. And so we all kind of found out together and did this big news thing at the rink, which was pretty cool.
You guys get after it that night? No.
I think we were still in playoffs during that.
Oh, really? Yeah, so never mind. Yeah.
Yeah.
You save the celebration for later. But So I did get I asked some people, like, oh, you know, what do you want to ask Isaiah? And one of them was, why'd you choose Omaha? Because I'm sure you had, you know, plenty other places to go, I assume. So why'd you choose Omaha?
It was really about like how I felt when I went on my visits here and stuff like that, and just like the culture and the coaching staff. It was such a team sense of mindedness that they had, like, oh, we're gonna put our star players here and they're gonna do everything, and then put some guys on the back burner, and if they do something great, they don't want ever. It's such a, like, our coach isn't afraid to scratch or not play one of our top players, you know what I mean? Yeah. And that's kind of the culture that I want to be a part of, is where we're here to win. We're not here to and get better. We're not here to give chances to guys that don't deserve it, you know?
Yeah.
And so that comes with obviously like working hard in practice. And last year we were unranked a little bit. We were ranked top 20 every once in a while, and now we're top 10 in the nation. And that just shows we're like, we have, I think, three draft picks on our team, where other teams might have 7, 8, 9, 10.
Team in the NCHC.
Yeah. So it's a little different. I feel like our team's a little bit different in that aspect, and the culture really brought me to, like, I want to go here. This is the place for me. And obviously I committed here at a young age, but even at that age, I noticed that on my visit, and Chris Oldham was here for a little bit too. And I know he had great things to say about this program. And so that kind of helped me feed into the Omaha process.
I guess also having an opening at goalie, I guess, wasn't there a couple guys that graduated right before you came in?
I think one left and two graduate. Yeah, we have three. I guess last year was three freshman goalies. We're all the same class. So it was definitely a different dynamic, but we made it work.
Yeah, how was it playing against UAA? That's got to be kind of weird for you after watching forever.
I mean, that was the craziest experience I've ever had, I think, in hockey. I remember playing you in that rink.
Yeah, like, in the far, yeah. I was thinking about that. I'm like, God, it's got to be real weird to, I guess, play it. Say you're playing at the Ralph Engelstad in North Dakota, and then you go and play in, you know, in the Farg where there's 800 people. And it's like, what's going on here?
I mean, I was, because I had no idea they weren't at the Sullivan anymore. So I was like, oh, this is, I like.
All right, get the Sully. Here we go.
Skated at the Sully like maybe a couple times when I was younger, but. And then we got there, and I was like, "Are we even in the right place? Like, we're on campus right now. We're at UAA, and I guess we were playing there." And fortunately, I was able to get all the, so we get like tickets every game that each player gets tickets that they can give away, obviously. And so I was able to scrap out 50 of them for like friends and family, because all the boys didn't have family going to Alaska. But so that was a really cool experience playing in front of people that probably haven't seen me play live in four years. All of a sudden I'm in Alaska and able to play in front of them again. And that was a really, really cool experience, especially all the support. It was almost felt like a home game for me.
Yeah.
Even though we were the away team.
Because you're probably getting cheers whenever you make saves and whatever.
Yeah, it was a really cool experience.
I was about to say, I don't know if your buddies would let you hear the end of it if you guys lost to UAA and you're I don't know if we'll be the end of that one. You're gonna be happy that you guys won that game.
Yeah, I'm very, very thankful we did. I would not have heard the end of that.
Well, yeah. Also, I just remember this. Isn't Josh Boyer? He's there too. So fellow Alaskan on the team.
Yeah, he's here as well. Yeah.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
Wasilla native.
Oh, Colony All Star.
Oh, Colony Knights.
It was him and like Gunner Statham were just that was it.
Yeah, Gunner.
That was it.
Yeah. That was the high school pretty much.
I guess no one had seen you play since state championship game.
That was my last game in Alaska. Yeah, until last year.
That's nuts.
That would have been about 4 years.
Yeah. How was that? I know you got a few more accomplishments now, but how was the state championship? How is the win compared to other things you've done in your career right now?
Yeah, now it looks like it's just a little thing on the resume, but it was definitely a really cool accomplishment.
Obviously, especially with like all freshmen on the team.
Yeah, that's like
line was
I think
sick.
Yeah.
Oh my
and,
god.
In Alaska, was that Sully Mack, Max Alveson, and Cummings. I mean, yeah, there's a good line, and I think not enough people realize how big that state championship in Alaska is, or like just the whole state tournament is in Alaska for hockey. I think a lot of people don't know about it, but a lot of people show up for it, you know, and so it's a really cool. It was a really cool experience. That before I left, that was the most fans I've played it in front of.
Yeah,
I think
because the Menards usually around sold out right there, and I think it seats around 3,000, something like that.
Yeah, somewhere around there.
I mean,
really cool experience.
I mean, it's sick. Like high school hockey.
Yeah.
It's not quite on the level of it's not on the level of Minnesota popularity. I don't think anything is.
No.
I don't think anything is. But like state championship game, people still show up to it. It's
a lot of people.
Just state in general. It's especially when you get the later at night game.
Oh yeah.
I
when you get the night game and everyone's excited to watch you play and you win and it's a cool experience. I really like that.
Well,
it's one of my better hockey memories.
You get the rivalries in the in town. You know, you get West was just good. I mean, it gets you a little bit prepared to play in front of crowds, right?
It's super fun, especially the West versus East, the West versus South, Service Diamond South, like all that. That's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Oh man. I mean, high school hockey. Pretty sweet, but you didn't need any more after that. Your freshman year, like I already got this. I got my .950 save percentage. We got our state championship. I got nothing else here to do. So of course you go out of state, right? Of course you do.
Luckily, I could end it with a bang.
I did watch a video recently on your goalie mask, which is sick, by the way.
Thank you.
I really enjoy it coming from a guy who's only had either a black or a white mask.
Yeah. Hey, that was me up until my Tri-City year, so I didn't even get my
there you go.
On the
So kind of say describe what your mask is and why you chose I guess what you put on there.
Yeah, so start with the front. It has my number 31, obviously, and then
good number.
My name on each side. Yeah. And then my school logo on each side. The top is actually the Northern Lights over the woods. I don't know if you saw the whole mask or not, but it's over like a tree line, Northern Lights, and has a quote on the top that says, "Opportunity doesn't knock twice," which is a quote that I had on a shirt when I was younger, way younger. But my mom would always refer to that. So she just about taking your opportunities, not looking back on them, giving your full effort. And then the back is the most meaningful one to me right now. And it has the MLK, I Have a Dream speech section of it on the back with a picture of him. And just with everything that's gone on this year and being a black hockey player, I thought it was good to pay tribute to that and voice what my feelings are and what I stand for.
Yeah, I guess adding on to that, how was it being a black hockey player in such a white person? I guess it's only white people you play.
Yeah.
It's only that. So how was that for you? How were you able to overcome that, I guess? And I guess go through all the adversity that you would face in that aspect.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, for sure, there's definitely adversity with it. I've had incredible teammates, though, especially here at the university and through juniors, too. I haven't had any issues with that. There's been issues with fans sometimes and stuff like that, but it's all back noise. Cool. They can say what they want, but
yeah, they can shut the fuck up. I'll say it for you.
I mean, yeah. They can say what they want.
They're not a draft pick. They're not a stud. Okay. That's awesome to see. And I did also see another thing. You're coaching a kid back here and like mentoring him, not just on hockey and more on life and how to deal with being a black athlete, especially in hockey.
Yeah. Yeah. Zane. I met him a few years ago through, you know, Steve Thompson.
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah. So he introduced us to each other. And when we met, we just kind of, I kept coaching him and stuff and teach him a little bit more about just like kind of, we both have white moms too. So it was kind of that similar familiarity that we had and like what adversity you're going to face and just developing as a goalie. We always have a ton of fun. Sometimes we used to go to the pump, I think it's called Pump It Up or something like that, or the Sky Zone or the trampoline park.
Get Air.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, Get Air. Yeah. That's what it's called. We would go to Get Air. Sometimes we go to lunch. This summer, I did some like goalie off ice training with them. I'd go pick them up and bring them to Elite Sports Performance, which is where I work out. Yeah, that's where I work out every summer. So I'd take them there, do some stuff with them, take them to get lunch, and then take them home. And so it's more of there's a lot of coaching, hockey specific in it, but it's also kind of being like that big brother to them as well.
I mean, that's huge. And I feel like there needs to be more representation, especially in hockey, because Jesus, we you see it. Like it's 99%, man. So I saw that and I thought it was really, really cool that you're doing that and bringing more attention with your mask. And if people say they don't like it, that screw them. Yeah. I think that's awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah. With the I guess switching it up a little bit, going with the quarantine, and I guess for a long time, how are you able? What were you doing? Are you playing video games, watching shows? You said you were watching Bachelor right before you came on here.
Oh man, yeah. Are we talking about this past summer or right now?
Summer now. We'll start with the summer. Like just not being able to do anything. And I guess when you heard the news that the season wouldn't go on.
Yeah. So we were actually in Denver. We went to Denver because we were starting our NCHC playoffs.
Yeah.
And we woke up the morning before the game because we got there a couple days early. And we went down, ate our breakfast. We're getting ready to do our pre-practice stretch and stuff. And our coach is like, hey, team meeting in the lobby in like 10 minutes. And we're like, oh, like what's, because that's right when I think it was NBA canceled their season.
Rudy Gobert.
And then, yep, that's what it was. And then he called us down. He was like, the NCHC has canceled everything. We're not finishing the season. So we literally 10 minutes later, we packed up our stuff, hopped on the bus all the way back to Omaha, had a meeting in the locker room when we got back after an eight and a half hour
bus there, bus just
trip.
To bus back.
Yeah. And so
exciting,
we did that,
the flatlands right there, I guess. Real exciting.
I will tell you, driving through Nebraska is terrible. You think that 3-hour drive to Kenai from Anchorage is bad?
At least there's stuff to look at, right?
Oh, at least you have mountains and the water. This is literally cornfields and flatland. And then, yeah, and then a couple days later, I stayed with the boys for a little bit. And then a couple days later, I flew back home. And I had a flight 10 days later to go back to school.
Wow.
And finish up there. And then it got canceled. So then I stayed at home. I was supposed to be there for 10 days. Stayed for about 3 months. And during that time, I was on Xbox, I think, 14 hours a day. I would wake up at 6 a.m. Billy at Elite let me go work out there privately, as long as I like sanitized everything and I made sure to lock up. So I was able to wake up at 6. I went and did my workout. Usually took about 2 hours-ish, maybe an hour and a half. would come home, shower, and then I did not leave my bed the rest of the day.
Well, at least you were getting some workout in. What was your game that you were on, or games that you were playing?
I was playing at that time. I was fully indulged in the Fortnite.
Okay.
And then NHL. I was playing a lot of HUT. And then, well, now I'm really big into Warzone, COD.
Yeah.
Huge Warzone guy now. But back then it was those two games. I played a lot of GTA as well.
Oh, that's sick.
With Billy Ramsey. I used to play with him a lot.
Billy's a funny guy. Oh, my God.
I play with him every night. After this, I'm about to hop on with him. We've been playing EASHL on NHL a lot.
Oh, man. How many guys you got in your squad? You're rolling sixes?
No, we're rolling threes. Okay. I'm not a big sixes guy. The sixes is overwhelming for me because I don't touch the puck. I'm a puck hog.
I'm a big threes guy as well in the old ESHL. Never been a HUT guy, but ESHL. How are you a goalie in that game? Because they always
don't play it.
I hate it. You don't. No, goalie in that game sucks.
Everyone thinks if you're a goalie, you should play goalie. It's the same with pond hockey for me. I don't want to play goalie when I'm going out to play a pond hockey. I will not play it. I want to be a player. I want to shoot the puck. Yes. I don't want to put on my gear and stand in the freezing cold.
Here's what I say about pond hockey and beer league. So my beer league team keeps on trying to get me to suit up, and I'm like, that is a lose-lose for me, okay? That is a lose-lose. Same goes for pond hockey, because if you play well, you're like, all right, yeah, of course I'm supposed to play well. It's, you know, it's beer league or pond hockey. And if you play bad, you just get mad, and then it ruins your day.
It's a terrible experience. I won't do it. I will not strap on the pads to play outdoor hockey. But you did the alumni game, yeah?
The only two times I played goalie, I hadn't strapped on the pads. Well, I strapped them on like 2 weeks ago to play, just like to warm up. I hadn't suited up since last alumni game in February. it went pretty well. 4-0 win, not a big deal. Okay.
Shout out. How are you?
Are you? Smell you later. Okay. it was awesome. It was outdoor at Boki. They were giving me some crap in the group chat before the game, because they're like, oh, you know, Chris King couldn't show up, and so that's why I was there last year as well. We won last year, and they were going, oh man, you know, we gotta find anyone else and find somebody. They didn't realize I was in the chat, so I was like, hey guys, you guys realize that I'm in the chat. I was the goalie last year, and we won.
So, it's a fun time though.
Oh, it was a blast. I mean,
yeah, I saw a food truck there and everything.
Yeah, there's food trucks and it was on like Facebook Live, whatever. I don't think my hips are going to be recovered for about a month, but
you got to hop in the ice bath.
Oh, I wish. I'm not going to be able to. I'm out of commission for a month at least. Out of commission.
I love it.
The hips. Always been pretty bad for me. Yeah. I tell you what, after that game, it was awful. Awful.
Yeah.
But hey, worth it to get the shutout win against the UAF Nanook alumni team.
Always worth it.
Unreal. Like, and then, you know, obviously I just, you know, in the locker room, whatever, and after the game, I'm like, hey guys, suck it.
So a little trash talk never hurt anybody. We want that.
Oh, right. You got drafted by the Knights. Right.
Yeah, that happened.
How'd you find out about that? Where were you? And I guess, did you expect to get called that day or by the Knights? Did they give you a heads up?
Not really. It was a crazy summer. I went to the combine and stuff and did my interviews and testing.
How was the interview?
And then the interviews were good. Very intimidating. It was a really cool experience. You get really, really, my hands were drenched. I was sweating and you have to shake all their hands and stuff. And you're like, I'm sorry. I'm nervous. But they're really cool interviews. You get to meet a lot of cool people in the organization. But I was I was planning on going to the draft, but I did a lot of traveling that summer with the combine, USA Hockey ceremonies and stuff like that. So I decided to stay home. So my uncle was nice enough to open up his house to have a draft party. And so I invited a group of my friends, and all my family was there. And most stressful day of my life. I don't want to say expecting, but I was hoping to go a little earlier than the fifth. I'm not upset that I went in the fifth, but
I say absolute steal.
Yeah, I was happy to get drafted. It was and by the Vegas Golden Knights. I mean, that's
an
unreal.
Awesome organization to get drafted by. Oh my god!
A new organization. What a great place to be. But
got a couple older goalies on the roster too. Yeah. I mean, you look at that. Oh man, can't help but look at the depth chart there. Oh baby.
Yeah. And so I was literally sitting there like this for about 3 hours, just like this, rubbing my sweaty hands together and just like praying that it would happen. And then along with my friends, and they're all looking at me like, all nervous and stuff. And then And then my phone started vibrating, and it was my advisor. So I picked up my phone and left the room, and he was like, well, you're a Golden Knight. And I was like, what the hell are you talking about? Like, right there, my brain, like, went blank. I was like, what does he mean? And he's like, congrats, man, you just got drafted. I was like, no freaking way. Oh, my God. And then I hung up the phone, told my family, and then there was a big hooray or whatever, and Vegas called me. And then a couple of different Vegas media things called me, did some interviews over the phone. So it was a really, really cool experience to be able to share with my family and friends. I was super thankful for that.
Were you talking with, was it McPhee still?
No, I talked to Will Nickel mostly, who kind of talks to all the prospects and stuff.
Okay. Well, I mean, yeah. That's an awesome organization to get drafted by, though. Like, just what an exciting team. I mean, great media team. You gotta say that at least.
Great media team. Very flashy, Vegas.
Oh,
cool. Really
that'd
cool.
Be awesome. Any updates for? I guess it's a little early for it, but anything for next year?
Nope. Still don't know anything for next year. I'm kind of just playing it day by day. Obviously have. 2 more eligible years of college. So kind of just going with the flow here, trying to have the best seasons that I can, and whatever happens, happens.
I mean, all I'm saying, if you went to the AHL and then you get to face off against good old Jeremy Swayman next year in Providence, that would be something. I mean,
that'd get some ADN headlines there.
Some ADN, yeah. Hey, I'd have to get Jeremy on here as well.
Sometime we got to do like some group thing, bring the whole gang back.
Alaska goalies, is that it?
Yeah.
Jeez, yeah, because you got the 2000 birth year with you got the 99 who third string for UAA, and then you have 98 goalie who's just signed AHL contract. It's not to say anything, but I think the 99 birth year did pretty good. Right in the middle. There you go.
Do best for yourself. I like it.
The middle child of the of all that. No, and then and then 97, you have Oldham to get drafted. So,
yeah. What's Shearhorn?
Shearhorn's a 95.
Oh,
I think he's the same
96.
Age as my brother. So,
okay.
I think Shortridge might be a 96 though.
Okay.
Yeah. So. Oh, just some good stuff going on there. Yeah, I mean, it's good to have you here. I don't know if I really have anything else. Anything you want to plug? Anything you want to say to the people? I guess.
I don't think I have anything really. I should have wrote some notes down for some questions for you. I could have flipped it on you, but I didn't get prepared. Maybe I will. Here, I'll ask a quick question. What was it like playing against Isaiah Seville when we were younger? Let's do that. Flip it on you for a question.
You know, all I'm going to say to that is I remember when you were the backup to me, Squirts. And I will take that to my grave.
So
just,
maybe
just
my
say just say
right
at, at one point for like only a couple games, Isaiah Seville was on the bench behind me.
And you were my mentor then. You pretty much
mentor.
You made me who I am now. You can plug that.
I don't know if I can say that exactly. I don't know if you definitely passed the mentor in skill wise and height a long time ago. So there is that. No, playing against you, I would say usually low scoring.
Always when you and I were in the net in the last,
battling,
low scoring.
Battle. Well, I guess. Well, when we played you at West, when I was at service, we got pumped. I mean, like, I remember there was one
game.
It was like 48-12 on shots. You guys won like 3-0. We may not have had a shot within the slot the entire game. Like, no traffic to the front. All of them for like shots from the half wall or from like the red line. We're just can't get anything. And then, you know, coach gets mad at me, and I'm like, "What are you doing? Like, get some
shots."
Yeah,
what do you mean?
What do you want?
It's always the goalie's fault.
It's always my fault. Unless we do good, we do good, it's always your fault.
Exactly.
Oh, you were on the one more thing. You were on the World Juniors team.
Yes.
I knew I was missing something. I was like, you got so much shit that you've done. That's so much stuff. I got a bunch of stuff written down. I was like, oh yeah, World Juniors. How was making the final cut? Playing out in Czechoslovakia in the U19 team. Was that it?
20. U20 team.
20.
World Juniors.
Okay,
U20.
Yeah. That was it. I was.
Yeah.
How was it going
cool.
over there? How was the experience over in Europe?
It was really cool. You get free gear, which is really really cool. You get a whole new setup. So. That's I feel like that's every young goalie's dream is to get free gear. So that was really, really cool. Obviously you get that in college too, but it was cool getting the customized USA pads. But yeah, it was a really cool experience. Didn't get to play a game, unfortunately, but it was fun to be there with the boys. Yeah, it was nice to be there. I had a lot of buddies on the team too, so it was great to spend a lot of time with them. I haven't seen a lot of those guys in a while, but it was definitely a unique experience. That place loved their hockey. Every game was pretty much sold out.
Did they have just like statues of Jager outside?
I mean, there was a lot of Jager stuff. They loved Jager. The logo was Peter Mrazek though. That year's World Juniors, it was Mrazek on the like IIHF little thing because they change it up every year. Apparently.
Okay.
But and they like pick a player from where that place is. But yeah, it was really cool. I had a great time there.
I didn't know that.
Learn something new every day.
Oh man, you're teaching me stuff, you know. And the former mentor getting taught in all sorts
exactly.
of ways. Well, it was great talking with you. Great having you on. We'll get you on some other time. Hopefully, when you sign your pro contract.
Would love for both of those to happen.
Yep.
Would love that.
Oh man, almost. So yeah, next time on the old emergency backup podcast, Isaiah Seville. Yeah, thanks for being here.
Hey, thanks, Ron. I appreciate you giving me the text to get on.
All right, thanks once again to Isaiah Seville for joining me. Love to have him on again. Hopefully, when he gets a professional contract with the Henderson Silver Knights. I think it's a good contract situation over there because I was like, hey, you got two older goalies on there on the roster, Robin Lehner and Marc-Andre Fleury. I think he's in a good position, and I'll say it once again, absolute steal for the Golden Knights in the fifth round. There was one thing that we were talking about before the show, the part where he said it was one of the craziest things he's ever done to play in the Wells Fargo Center against UAA, because he said, I remember playing you there. And I was like, yeah, I never really thought of it that way. He said, well, in the interview, you know, he says,
right.
I thought we were going to the Sullivan, and then we stopped. He's like, why are we on campus? Because he didn't hear that UAA was on campus now.
Yeah, I remember when he was playing on my little brother Callan's team, and he was the goalie, and watching them play as like squirts in the freaking arena, you know, and like now he just, I can't imagine him as like playing your college hockey games there,
especially because like one college game,
right? And then he's playing the Ralph where the UND plays, and you're in a 12,000 seat NHL style arena. So
I guess it'd be weirder going from the Ralph to the Wells Fargo, or I guess Seawolf Sports Complex that seats 800, and that's, you know, pushing it with 800. pushing it on certain nights, you're gonna get 800, but I don't know. That would be so weird to play at the Farg, especially for local guys. Honestly, great to have him on. Hope to have him on again. He says he's down. Just a good dude. I think he's great. With that, any NFL got the Super Bowl matchup this weekend. Bucks. I don't know how they did it, but Bucks are there, and the Chiefs. We all thought the Chiefs would be there, so.
I mean, is there any way Kansas City loses this game?
I don't know, but you don't want to bet against Brady, right? Like, there's no other reason besides, like, I don't know if I want to bet against Brady. That's the only reason.
Brady
looked
awful in the second half last week.
That is true. That is true.
He threw three really bad picks in her. He threw three. Well, that and
Matt Lafleur didn't do anything.
Kicking a field goal. Why would you?
Cause like you needed a stop anyway.
That was the stupidest thing.
That was dumb. That was stupid. I can't say anything else about it.
I couldn't believe what I was seeing.
But as me as a Vikings fan and you as a Bears fan, not complaining, okay?
Yeah.
Not complaining, man. Y'all, good play, Matt LaFleur. Let's go. Good play. Speaking of your Bears.
Here's a hot take.
Yeah.
Matt LaFleur on the hot seat in Green Bay. He's gone like 23-7 in this. Or he's 25-7 in his first 2 years there. Potential hot seat candidate.
Oh, I don't know about that. You lose 7 games in 2 years. I don't think anyone should be on the hot seat. Oh my God, no. I will say, Bears, you got to be happy with your 3-boy Mitch Trubisky's performance, getting the Nickelodeon Player of the Game. Getting like 150 yards, 4 picks.
He has more Nickelodeon valuable players than Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers, Cam Newton combined. I mean, is he not the best quarterback ever then? I mean, like, I can't
have a rebuttal to that. There's zero argument against it. That's the
thing. Absolutely.
Zero argument against it. I got to agree with you 100%. I think Mitch Trubisky is the way to go in the future. I think all Bears,
he has
all
more
Bears
than Patrick
fans,
Mahomes, too.
I think all Bears fans would agree with me saying that Mitch Trubisky's quarterback of the future. Happy to keep Matt Nagy along. And I think that'll end it for Bears talk. We'll before
otherwise,
we get
we'll,
too
we'll
off the rails.
Be here all night long.
Yeah. Not much Vikings talk because they were bad. That's all I'll say about the Vikings. They were just not good. I think Buffalo getting a win. That's awesome. I think they're going to be around for a while. Josh Allen, just the year-to-year progression was unreal. I know.
Well, I just really like good. Watching the game. It's like those like that's the next Brady Manning rivalry. Because they're both in the AFC, you know? So it's like it's either Brady or it's either Manning this year for the Super Bowl. So out of the AFC. But now it's going to be Mahomes and
Allen.
Josh Allen.
Yeah, I think those two are going to dominate the league. And I think Buffalo definitely got the torch passed on to them from the AFC East.
Mm-hmm.
Torch has been passed on. I think Bills are going to be good for a while. I think they're – they're really solid. Sean McDermott's done a good job there.
Yeah.
Cleveland getting a playoff win, absolutely pumping the Steelers. I mean, pumping them.
No, first play of the game, that was kind of ominous.
Yeah, and, you know, Browns is the Browns. That's got to fire them up. God, the Steelers just became so hateable again. So
well,
quickly.
I know. Well,
they became so hateable.
Yeah.
Just
Cleveland hung tough with with Kansas City really well.
Yeah. But, I mean, Chad Henne. Oh, my goodness. Chad Henne with like a 14-yard run to set up a fourth and short, then completes the pass to win it.
You know, potential Bear star next year. My trade for him. I wish I was joking, actually. That's the thing. I wish Bears, I was joking.
Bears maybe need to trade up for a quarterback in the draft. There's a lot of quarterbacks in the draft that are that can potentially I don't, what do they have to give up for Deshaun Watson?
Nothing.
Give up Khalil Mack.
I wouldn't be opposed to that, actually.
Khalil Mack for Deshaun Watson.
Plus you tossing two
JJ Watt like on his like you know last couple years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I was kind of just throwing it out there because I'm like, who's the best player on the Bears?
I think you offered Khalil Mack in a first rounder.
Okay.
Talks could start.
Talks could start if you put up Khalil Mack on the board. I think you can go from there. So, I think that could work. But I think there's so many quarterbacks in the draft this year that it's reminiscent of the, what was it, the 2017? Was that the Baker and Josh Allen, Rosen, Darnold, 2018 draft, where I think there's a lot of good quarterbacks. We'll make predictions because we were spot on just about all of our predictions besides Lamar Jackson, where we didn't even talk about him.
Well, to be fair, neither did like Mel Kiper and Todd McShay.
Which is why they were bad. Like those unbelievably bad takes by them.
Right.
He's not going to do anything.
Also, the rest, because I mean, Lamar went, 32nd overall. So every team had a chance to take him.
Yeah, every single team did. So, whatever. Baker, most consistent option. I think Trevor Lawrence, most consistent option. I think he'll be really good. I feel like that's a freezing cold take right there.
Yeah.
Freezing cold saying, oh, yeah, Trevor Lawrence is going to be good. He's only like 6'5", has a cannon for an arm.
Right.
It just, how are they going to protect him in Jacksonville?
You got to invest in offensive line. But the thing is that Jacksonville has quite a few picks. So
yeah.
My guess is they'll invest heavily
in O-line. They have to.
And their tackles, yeah. So
I think the Jets at number two, I think they should probably keep Darnold, maybe even trade down a couple picks, see if someone's really desperate.
Right.
I think that might be the best move and try to just get an absolute haul for the second overall pick and move down to, say, like 8 or 9. I don't know who's 8 or 9, but.
But there are a couple ways you can spend that because, if someone needs a quarterback really bad, get Justin Fields or that tackle out of Oregon. That's Penei Sewell.
Yeah.
He's supposed to be, like, fantastic. Or Devonta Smith, who is going to be a stud.
Oh, Devonta Smith from Alabama. Yeah. Miami's at 3, right, since they had that from the Laremy Tunsil trade. Miami, got to pick up Devonta Smith. I think that's a really good fit there.
Yeah,
I agree. I think that's where it's got to go because, yeah, you can get the offensive lineman, but I think Devonta Smith, unless something really weird happens, something very unforeseen happens, I think he's going to be a generational wide receiver. I don't think that's unfair to say.
Well, but in the first half of the national championship, he hit 230 yards.
And then he got injured.
And he was open every single – I mean, he was, like, wide open every single play.
His route running was ridiculous.
It's redonkulous. Plus, he has a huge catch radius. And then, on top of that, he's fast, too. So
– I need to look at the NFL draft order because, Jets at 2, Miami at 3, Falcons at 4. That's kind of a weird – So I'd say whoever doesn't take – it's going to be 3 and 4, whoever doesn't take Devonta Smith or the tackle from Oregon. Those two are going to go 3 and 4. I don't know which way, but
I could see the Falcons taking Fields at five or at four. I'm sorry, because Matt Ryan's 35. He's kind of run his course. You know, maybe time
who
to
you,
move
who
on
do you think
Matt
the,
Ryan.
Who do you think the Jets are taking it to? Or who do you think is going to go at number two in the draft?
I think the Jets keep Sam Darnold. Their request is too high, and they go for the tackle.
Okay, that's not bad. I mean, yeah, that's fine. Then Devonta Smith goes to Miami, and then yeah, okay, that makes sense. Justin Fields to Falcons. I think that makes sense.
And then the Falcons can even trade Matt Ryan and acquire like a later round first round pick. I could see the Bears trade a first rounder for Matt Ryan, honestly.
Okay. Let's say with that, I don't really know. I can't really predict anything outside of like the top five in the draft. I think nobody can. I think that's it's not a bad. Not a bad thing for any of those teams in the top three and four. The only thing is, I don't know how good Justin Fields is going to be. I don't know if I have a good read on him, on how he's going to be in the NFL.
I think he'll be fine. I think
he'll be fine.
I think he's kind of like the Sam Darnold of that class. He's just he'll be good. You know,
be good. No, yeah, not really standing out, but he's like, all right, no, he's good.
Mm, exactly.
All right. Well.
I think the quarterback to watch out for, like the Josh Allen. I think Trey Lance, this guy
from NDSU.
He's gonna be
that. That's your dark horse, your wild card pick. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll keep that in mind. I was thinking about him too. I was like, he might be my wild card pick too. Just small school quarterback guy, who's gonna be good.
I think Mac Jones is gonna suck. I personally think he's going to suck.
I think like all Alabama quarterbacks aren't very good because, oh man, you have the literal best offensive line in the game. You have the best running game in the entire country. You have the best wide receivers in the entire country. Alabama quarterbacks never do good. They never do good in the NFL because they're system quarterbacks.
Greg McElroy, you know, A.J. McCarron.
I think A.J. McCarron's fine.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good backup.
Yeah. We'll say it'll be surprising to see how Tua does this year. I think this will be the real test for him. Prediction.
We'll see how Jalen does.
Yeah. Well, he went to Oklahoma too. I think Jalen Hurts will be fine for the Eagles. With that, predictions for the Super Bowl. Any score? Just come up with a score right here.
I'm going to go Chiefs 31 to 20.
38-28. Chiefs, that's me. I don't think they can contain Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce.
Patrick Mahomes.
But that's not saying that I think like it's gonna be an easy game. I think just simply because of Tom Brady magic, him sucking power out of his kids.
I know, but
from
dude,
kissing
just,
them.
I mean, think about
sucking
it. Like,
power out of Tom Brady's kids.
Seriously, they played the Washington football team.
Yeah, Taylor Heineken played well. Okay,
and then they played. A not very good New Orleans team. Drew Brees is
fair.
Could not.
That's fair.
I mean, seriously.
Fair.
Then they went to Lambeau and got lucky, and Aaron Rodgers happened to have a bad game.
Yeah. No, yeah, no, yeah, yeah. And I'm, like I said, I don't know if they're going to win, but at 38-20.
I don't think Tampa stands a chance in hell.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see what happens. We'll come back next week and
we'll come back next week and
regroup our thoughts and see which one of us are right.
I think Andy Reid wants to prove he is the next dynasty with Patrick Mahomes.
I think they can.
And
be.
he is gonna want to crush him from the start.
Yep, I think I agree with you there. I think with that, I don't know if there's really much else to talk about with Super Bowl coming up. After this, we'll know all the draft order and everything. Get back into that. Actually, next week's Pro Bowl. Never mind. They have like what are they doing? Like a Madden 21 Pro Bowl?
I have no idea.
It looks like it's going to be bad because Madden 21 is, from what I see, not a good game. So, obviously not sponsored by Madden 21 here. I think Madden hasn't been good since Madden 11, Madden 12. It's bad.
Was Peyton Hillis?
Peyton Hillis. Ever since the Peyton Hillis one, it's gone downhill. Like Peyton Hillis's career after that season. No, yeah, I think it sucks. I think it's only for money now. It's bad. NHL's kind of going in the same direction, although it's way better than Matt. I'll say that, way better. With that, anything else you want to add before we skedaddle on out of here?
No. Catch me in a classroom near you.
Catch him in a classroom. You'll never know when Quinn Harris is going to pop up. Pop up and become substitute teacher. What genres are you going to be doing?
I can teach K through 12.
Whoa. Any subject.
Yep.
Teach like Spanish. Do you know any Spanish?
Hola.
Hola, clase. Soy Quinn.
Uno, dos, tres.
Class, como se dice North Dakota in English? Como se dice means how do you say in Spanish? So that's all I learned in my one quarter of Spanish in college. Is how to ask how to say something is the only thing you need. Because if you don't know something, you can ask how to say it. I think that's smart.
Como se dice hooker.
I don't know. I don't know how to say I don't know in Spanish. So that's how much I know from Spanish 101 at Green River, baby.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, that's the only thing you need to know in any language is like, how do you say blah, blah, blah in the language? So that's smart. That's how you get through life. Okay.
That is smart.
Yeah, I just came up with that. I feel good about that one. I think, yeah, with that, you're not really on social media much anymore, right?
No, not much for presence.
Nice. Yeah, follow me at Clanchy Clanch. I don't know. I'm tweeting a little bit more than usual. I didn't tweet for like a couple months, just starting to put out random stuff. I don't know. We'll put out whatever. Want to give a big shout out to Dale Hollow for letting us use his song Fools Rush In off his single Fools Rush In / No Shape to Be in Love. Check him out on Spotify. If you like country like I do, he's awesome. I really like his stuff. And thanks once again for letting us use his song for the intro and outro. So check him out. With that, that's Emergency Backup Podcast. Thanks for joining us. It's a little bit, I think I like the structure of this episode better. You have like, hockey, interview, football, or just subject, interview, subject, different subject. So you break it up a little bit. You have an interview in the middle. I think that works well. So with that, we'll see you next time. Emergency Backup Podcast.
Stay warm.